You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Tuesday, May 27th, 2025, and it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Live from our world headquarters studios in downtown Madison on State Street. Sun starting to peek out. Zommers, looks like it's going to be pretty nice. Temperature maybe near 70 to get day. A little rain in the forecast through parts of the state. Cooler, and then, unfortunately for you, warmer back into the upper 70s by the end of the week.
Yeah, I'll find a way to deal with it.
Zommers is not a hot weather person, but I enjoy it, so I'm excited about it. Many thanks to Kira Sabin for being on in hour number one. We're going to have all those show notes for you in our show page. Go to civicmedia.us to the Todd Albaugh Show. You'll find everything there, or you can check Kira out at thrivewithkira.com, thrivewithkira.com. Really, really great things, I think, Zommers. Again, on the surface, it may sound simplistic, but for a lot of us, there are things we just forget to do. And we're like, oh, wait a minute. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. Oh, wait a minute. And this is not to say there aren't conditions where medications can be helpful, but oftentimes there are things we can do that don't require medication that can help us as well.
Right. If maybe if getting a doctor's appointment is something that is either extremely anxiety inducing for you or would cost you a lot of money if your insurance doesn't allow for good mental health care, there are things you can do at home, I think is the big takeaway from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you didn't hear the previous 2 weeks with Kira, I definitely recommend going and looking it up on civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you from 1 to 3 a good roadmap of checking in with yourself and understanding where you're at and how to get to where you would prefer to be at.
Right. No, absolutely. So really great things there. Coming up in hour number two here, going to talk about Memorial Day weekend, what President Trump was up to, what he said, what he didn't say, and how that relates to what I think is kind of the norm, I'll say, for most veterans, at least those who I have talked with, the military personnel around the state of Wisconsin. Take your phone calls on that. Also, ICE is going to ramp up their enforcement efforts here after Memorial Day. Stories from CBS News talk about that and how that could affect the state of Wisconsin as well. But right now, it's 8 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. Time for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard on all 11 stations of the Civic Media Radio Talk Sports Network. No better place to advertise than here at Civic Media. Go to civicmedia.us and you can find out how. Love to have you as an advertising partner like Gordy Kopke down at Kopke's Greenhouse. Always a good time had by all. And we'll see. Gordy had the Kopke's had their big fundraiser for Memorial Day over the weekend. So we'll check and see how that went. By and large, I think some pretty nice weather for them down there. All right. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say. Because Aaron Rodgers, still an active player in the NFL.
Technically,
but does not formally have a team yet. He has been with the Jets after leaving the Packers. Jets basically cut him loose. Lots of rumors he's going to land in Pittsburgh with the Steelers, but still no official word. And of course, Brett Favre, who is, after having a Hall of Fame career, went to the Jets, the Vikings, and now he's kind of become a Trumpster. He's taking pictures and raising money and has had some other financial dealings that did not go well. We'll say that. So anyway, the category for today on What's Worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it today. Simply go to your app store, your Apple or Android device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up a cute CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what CBS's Gayle King calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Somers?
I will say, if you're not watching the stream, the graphic we have for today has an image of Brett Favre and an image of Aaron Rodgers. Mm. The symmetry is very interesting. Both of them at some of their worst moments. Mr. Favre sitting behind a microphone in a court hearing, and Aaron Rodgers sitting behind a microphone on a podcast, probably talking about ayahuasca and how the vaccines are fake.
It looks like a very dude image of Aaron Rodgers. I'll say another bro image on this. And again, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from their Hall of Fame careers as football players. Great football players. And look, when Favre was here, he raised a lot of money for charity. I think Rodgers did as well, the annual charity softball game. Now Jordan Love is doing that. So this isn't to take away from many of the things they accomplished on and off the field. But interesting, they both left Green Bay, landed at the Jets, and they've both been controversial. I would say more so Rodgers while he was still with the team than Favre. I mean, Favre overcame Vicodin addiction and went through a lot of stuff while he was here, went through recovery, and as far as I know, has stayed sober. I think that deserves credit.
Yep.
But then when he went to the Jets, there were some, shall we say, salacious picks that he decided to send to a trainer. But that might not be the worst thing. I think what really has disturbed a lot of people is he went back to Kill, Mississippi. His daughter, I believe, went to Mississippi State. And there are, and I have to say, allegations, because nothing's been proven, but some pretty stark allegations with quite a lot of evidence that he used his influence to work with the Republican governor at the time of Mississippi to get, I think, a couple millions of dollars reapportioned from what should have gone to welfare recipients in Mississippi to a new volleyball stadium for his daughter's team at Mississippi State.
Classy.
And then you add in the fact that he's on golf courses with the Trumpster and whatnot. With Rodgers, here's a guy, like you say, who's been, I'll say, I think he's a conflicted person over some things, and he's gotten into these ayahuasca and alternative medicines and said some crazy, wacky things about vaccines, thought about running for vice president with Robert Kennedy Jr. for a while. And it's kind of gone off the ranch on some of these things. And he appears on Pat McAfee's show on ESPN a lot of times. So they're strange dudes, these two, Favre and Rodgers. What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the app. Joseph, watching on YouTube, says, who's worse, Favre? His actions actively stole money from poor folks in the poorest state in the United States. Well, there you go. We just talked about that. So the actions. Our own Tony Zimmerman on YouTube says, this is a tough one. I'd say Rodgers, just because maybe Favre has a little more of an excuse growing up in a different era or a different time. Plus, Rodgers encourages RFK. Yes, that's a good take as well. Brett Favre and I are exactly the same age, by the way. One of us has done very, very well, and the other one is just getting along.
I don't know how to feel about that. That's weird. I don't know why that's so weird to me, but it is.
That we're the same age?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're literally like a week apart. His birthday is October. Both born in 69. Yep. What did Tony say? The arrogance of Rodgers always gets me, Tony says. Always feels like he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room on every topic. Well, that's true. I'll give Favre. I think Favre's more humble. I think he's more of a good old boy, country boy. Yeah, and I knew people, friends of mine, whose parents, when I think Favre was still playing, went down to Kill, Mississippi. His parents invited him into their home. Didn't know him from Adam, but they're from Wisconsin, Packers fans. And, like, fed him dinner, and there was a big pool table, and played pool, and were, I guess, really, really nice people, his parents. So, and Favre used to deer hunt in northern Wisconsin. We just wander into, like, a bait and tackle shop or whatever, and I guess he was a super, and our friend Trevi Olson has been on a podcast with him, and as you have said, kind of overlook some things because of that. But I don't know, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, or who's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? Lots of texts here, Zomers. Let's get to some of these here. Greg in Genesee Depot on AUK in Waukesha says Brett Favre is worse. Oscar in Madison, WMDS, MDX, hands down by far, Brett Favre. He stole from his kids.
Or not his kids, but kids.
From kids, from the university kids or the kids that would have gotten welfare recipients, allegedly. Jill in Madison and WMDX says, got to say they're both bad. But I'll vote for Favre since, as far as we know, Rodgers did not divert money from the public assistance programs for the poor to build a volleyball court at his daughter's college. I think that's the one that really gets people. Robert McFarland, got to be careful here. Brett Favre is a so-and-so, so-and-so piece of so-and-so. Aaron Rodgers is a pompous ass. Well, okay. Very strong feelings from Robert and McFarland.
He follows it up with, Brett Favre is worse.
Oh, he finally, all right, Brett Favre is worse, says Robert. A listener on WMDX says, seems like a typical American election where we're forced to pick the lesser of two evils.
That's a great response.
I like that. I like that. Matt, our great UPS driver in Richland Center, says he idolized Favre and didn't care for Rodgers. After watching the new Untold Brett Favre on Netflix, Favre is a terrible human being. I haven't seen that, Matt. What's I forget the name of that. I heard it's actually pretty good, the documentary on Favre. But I'm the same way. I grew up, I mean, because we live, I don't know how old Matt is, but I grew up in the era where the Packers sucked. That's why I'm a closeted Dallas Cowboys fan, because I cheered for the Cowboys because they were winning when the Packers weren't. And you had, you know, Magic Don Majkowski, the Magic Man, kind of got the Packers back a little bit. But it wasn't until Brett Favre, Ron Wolf brought Favre to Green Bay and Majkowski went down with an injury. And Favre came in and led him to victory, and that was it. The Favre era, and then Favre, because of Favre, Reggie White. Nobody thought Reggie White was going to leave Philadelphia and come to Green Bay. And Reggie White comes, and suddenly it makes Green Bay an okay place to be in the NFL, and away they go, and they end up winning the Super Bowl. And so people at a younger age that think, well, the Packers are always in it. No, they weren't always in it. And Brett Favre was a big part of why the Packers, the big Packers comeback. So I totally understand Matt's feelings. I don't not idolize, but I was a huge Favre fan. And during the whole controversy with Favre and Rodgers, who was going to be the starting quarterback when Favre went to the Jets, I was on Favre's side on that. Not going to lie about that. So Steve in Mount Horeb says, I think both are in the toilet bowl swirling around, but Favre already went through the bottom of the toilet on his way to the sewage plant. Wow. I knew this was going to be spicy. Brian in Milwaukee on what's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. I totally agree that both are bad, but Favre is so much worse. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. This is fascinating to me. I didn't know we'd get this much interaction, but I love it. I love it. We're going to take a break here, come back with Zomers and I, and we'll have Matthew get in on this as well, our new intern here at Civic Media. What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? And then we'll turn to the serious side, Memorial Day and the Trumpster. Don't go anywhere. We're back live on a Tuesday. It's the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tell all the people across the USA, I love my Green Bay Packers, who won the first Super Bowls ever played. I love my Green Bay Packers. City, Chicago, Detroit, and Tampa Bay.
Throw in the Vikes.
They all come up as Likers. We take our opposition and crunch them like they're crackers. That's That's why I love my Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yes, indeed. We love our Green Bay Packers here at the All Ball Show in Civic Media. It is now 23 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Great tune there. Who sings that one, Zomers?
Eddie J. Lemberger.
Oh, nice.
That's from the album Eddie J.'s Greatest Packer Hits Plus.
We love our Packers. Many of our stations here at Civic Media are Packers affiliates. And, of course, our great Packer reporter, Mike Clemens, always brings you the inside detail. And this bit here is not to hate on our Packers at all. Or really even to hate that much on Favre or Rodgers. It's just...
Maybe a little.
It's the kind of question that's discussed in bars all across Wisconsin all the time. And I just find it fascinating to bring it up here, and I love all these responses. We're in the middle of what's worse, today's category, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. What's worse? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Steve in Milwaukee on the text line on WAUK says they're both arrogant, but Favre stumped for Trump and stole money from children who needed it. All right. Well, there you go. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Troy in Mount Horeb. Troy, thanks for calling in. What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers?
Because he allegedly broke the law and because he went to Minnesota, I have to say Favre, although it's pretty neck and neck.
Is there a particular reason why?
Why it's pretty neck and neck?
Well, no. Just like, what's your reason for choosing Favre over, or which
Well, like I said, because he allegedly broke the law and because, you know, which is worse than anything Rodgers has done, and because he went to Minnesota and Rodgers hasn't done that, you know, that's kind of traitorous. But did you see over the weekend Danica Patrick came out and called Rodgers emotionally abusive?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, yep. She's
wow.
She's out. She's been quoted in a lot of different. She was on the Sage Steele show when she said that.
Well, Rodgers has been in, we'll just say, many relationships with women, and none of them seem to take.
I can see him
take.
Being controlling.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I can see him being controlling.
Yeah. So. Very interesting, and I appreciate that insight, Troy. Thank you so much, our friend Troy in Mount Horeb, 855-752-4842. What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? Carrie in Tosa on WMDX says, have always detested Favre, ego, maniac, and serious philanderer. Disgusting human. Wow, these are some really hot takes.
I mean, I can't say I disagree with Carrie in Tosa. Like, all the stuff about Favre, yes, he overcame an addiction, and that's something to be celebrated. He also, you know, sending unsolicited,
pictures
to people in his staff, that's messed up. And diverting money from welfare programs to build a volleyball stadium for your kid. Mm. I mean, Aaron Rodgers says some equally heinous things, but is way easier to ignore. That's where I'm at. So I think Favre is worse.
So Zomers says Favre is worse. Our new intern, Matthew, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, what's worse?
I think Favre is like my worst too, just because with Favre, it's the alleged stealing of money. And like Aaron Rodgers is just such a dude bro. Like, he gives such a dude bro energy.
Right, right.
My earliest memories of both of them is that Favre was on the shaving commercials, and our Rodgers, everybody loved him when he had short hair.
That's really well said. Another text on AUK, Favre was great until he became a Viking. Couldn't forgive him for that. Aaron Rodgers' COVID-19 controversy was bad. But the welfare scandal for Favre is really bad, so I'll vote for Favre. Being worse, still really enjoyed watching both play football. Well, me too. I mean, I think that, I guess I'll answer the question myself, Favre or Rodgers. I'm going to say Favre, and probably for similar reasons as you guys, to whoever it was, the caller or texter that said they idolized Favre. I wouldn't say idolized him, but he was such a predominant. He was like the hero. And not to cross-pollinate metaphors or genres, but he's kind of the Anakin Skywalker. He was the hope. He was the one that's supposed to restore sanity. He's the one that got us back to a Super Bowl win. He's the guy who overcame addiction. His wife still stayed with him, even though he was a schmuck to her in many ways. He was the person who was going to go on and be the next Bart Starr. And instead, kind of in his retirement, he kind of either A, showed who he really was all along, or B, he just really fell from grace. And I think that's the biggest disappointment for me, is when you think you kind of have a sense of someone and you think they're just a normal dude and, you know, can have a beer with you at the bar, which I think Favre probably still can. But the fact that Favre had so many opportunities to use his position for good, and I think to some degree he did, but at the end of the day, he just kind of goes over to the dark side. Where to me, Aaron Rodgers is a conflicted person who has a lot of personal things going on in his life. And I think exactly what Kira Sabin was saying in the last hour, I think Rodgers hasn't found healthy ways to cope. That's just my take on this.
I would agree. And that his coping, like when you have unhealthy coping mechanisms and you're just sitting at home, you're mostly just hurting you. When you have unhealthy coping mechanisms and you're going on Joe Rogan show, you're hurting a lot of people, potentially.
Yeah, I agree. Also, Cam and Appleton is really ticked off that he didn't know he had an intern program. He wants to be like Matthew and be a summer intern. Well, Cam, there's always next year. Just like the Cubs fans. All right, come on back. We're going to have a news, weather, sports update, and then get into a little bit of Memorial Day news. Back after this is the Awful Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday, May 27th, day after Memorial Day. Zomer is on the board. Our new intern, Matthew, here as well. Glad to have him along here for the summer. And all of you as well. Hopefully you had a safe Memorial Day weekend and that you enjoyed the time with family and friends. Look, I got no problem with all that. That's if you talk to military people, they'll tell you we hope people do celebrate Memorial Day in a manner of speaking with family and friends. But it's just not kosher to really wish people a happy Memorial Day. Look, I'm not the word police. I get people's intention is good. But and I also realize that I'm fortunate that I've had the opportunity to be around military folks, talk with them, and understand in first person what Memorial Day means to them. I've been to Arlington National Cemetery on several occasions. I've been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I've been to ceremonies here in Wisconsin honoring lost military personnel, those who died in service. And if you weren't with us at the top of the show, for those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the like, it's a little wrinkled. But hey, it still fits after almost 30 years. It's a polo shirt, and it's from West Point. It has the West Point insignia and the words West Point on lapel here. And I wore it today in honor of those who died. But also, and again, I get it. I have had a unique opportunity. I've been privileged in this. As with a lot of things, I had opportunities that others didn't to go to West Point, to be on that campus, to talk with cadets, to talk with instructors. Never been to a graduation there, but I've been to West Point. And the men and women who are at West Point, instructors, but in my opinion, particularly the cadets, these are the cream of the crop. These people have gotten close to, if not straight A's, 4.0 in high school. They're usually in some sort of athletic event. They're usually people who have given to their communities. Maybe they've been Eagle Scouts or something like that as well. Maybe they've been involved in their church. They're identified by their members of Congress and the Board of Admissions at West Point as being some of the most capable leaders in our country. And yes, of course, they go through what we consider basic training or for military, and they're military. But people don't understand, I don't think, unless you've been there, the extraordinary academic level that these cadets learn and go through at West Point. The grades they have to get maintained to stay there. And then the classes about military history and training, because when they come out of West Point, they're lieutenants, they're officers. And they are assigned commands of fellow Army soldiers. And so you literally are taking care of other people's lives when you come out of West Point. It's a huge responsibility. And so Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, was at West Point over the weekend giving the commencement speech. And I want to play a couple of cuts, not interrupting them, letting them play out, because I want you to hear it. First one we're going to do is Donald Trump talking about basically the mission of the United States military. Here's Trump at West Point over the weekend.
The job of the U.S. Armed Forces is not to host drag shows, to transform foreign cultures, or to spread democracy to everybody around the world at the point of a gun. The military's job is to dominate any foe and annihilate any threat to America anywhere, anytime, and any place.
Do you hear that very light applause, by the way? Most of the applause you heard were from the commanders sitting on the stage right around Trump to kind of boost the crowd a little bit. To spread his words, Trump's words, to spread democracy at the point of a gun. Again, I've never served, had the privilege and honor of helping and working with several who have. I'm pretty confident in saying that if you'd ask any current military person on active duty or veteran, what is the mission of the United States military? They would not say spread democracy at the point of a gun. It's not what they're taught. It's protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, enemies foreign and domestic, to protect our borders, to keep us safe and secure, and when called upon by the President of the United States and Congress to carry out military missions. It is not to go around conquering other countries, spreading America's form of democracy at the point of a gun. It ain't for that. And quite frankly, in my opinion, it is a disgrace that the sitting commander-in-chief would say that. And by the way, Trump was wearing his red MAGA hat, Make America Great Again hat, with a suit. The only people that wear hats at West Point events are those who wear the uniform as a part of the uniform. Trump never served, had his rich dad make up excuses to avoid serving in Vietnam. And certainly no other commander-in-chief, including those who have served, like George W. Bush, never wore a hat or a uniform when he was speaking to the cadets at West Point. Trump ducked out early, by the way. It's from George H.W. to W. to Bill Clinton to Barack Obama to Joe Biden. When you're called upon for that service as President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, you give the speech and then you shake the hands of every graduating cadet as they go across the stage. Trump told them, this weekend, can't stay. I have to deal with China and Russia. And hours later, the press captured him in a golf cart speeding across one of his golf courses. I want to play one more cut of Trump here. This is talking here at West Point, Trump at graduation this weekend.
And he had nothing to do. He ended up getting a divorce, found a new wife. Could you say a trophy wife? I guess we can say a trophy wife. It didn't work out too well. But that doesn't work out too well, I must tell you. A lot of trophy wives doesn't work out. But it made him happy for a little while, at least. But he found a new wife. He sold his little boat and he got a big yacht. He had one of the biggest yachts anywhere in the world.
If you notice, nobody was laughing. If he was trying to be funny, I'm not sure. This is the graduation for America's finest. Some of our finest. There are other military academies as well. People who have committed to put their lives on the line for the rest of us. To die if they have to. And Donald Trump goes there and makes jokes about trophy wives. Enamored with some rich friend. I simply ask people who have worn the uniform, or whose parents have died in service, whose sons and daughters have died in service, does that line up with how you feel about those who died and gave their lives? Are those the remarks that were said at their funeral? I passed a lot of cemeteries this weekend as I traveled around Wisconsin. Every single American flag represents someone who has served, and in most cases has died. It certainly doesn't line up with the feelings of the former Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, who served under Trump and then left under Biden when he knew that Trump was coming back. Trump already said he hated him, was going after him. Here's what General Milley, a decorated four-star general, said about the mission of the United States military.
We don't take an oath to a country. We don't take an oath to a tribe. We don't take an oath to a religion. We don't take an oath to a king or a queen or a tyrant or a dictator. We don't take an oath to a wannabe dictator. We don't take an oath to an individual. We take an oath to the Constitution, and we take an oath to the idea that it's America, and we're willing to die to protect it.
That's what an actual leader says. Those are the words of someone who has seen action, who has seen people die in military service, who've known people who have died in military service. Those are the words of someone who dedicated his life to the Constitution and this country. And that was a speech from his retirement about a year ago when he left office as Joint Chief of Staff. His replacement, by the way, at Joint Chiefs of Staff, the way this happens is that they try to take as much of the politics out of it for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So every service, Army, Navy, Marine, so on and so forth, they have a head, and then there's a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is usually one of those people and you come up through the ranks. When Milley stepped down, and now I'm going to forget, as Brown, I believe, was his last name, Zomers. You can look it up, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I want to call him out. Happened to be an African-American. A decorated hero.
Yes, General Charles Brown Jr.
Thank you. Charles Brown Jr. I believe Air Force, if I'm not mistaken. And had worked his way up, was in line to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I believe only the second black chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff after Colin Powell, who was appointed, by the way, by Ronald Reagan, a Republican. And as soon as Trump got in, he fired this guy and put in a white dude who was lower in rank, who had seen less military service. And now this weekend, when you watch the National Memorial Day celebration, you had all the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Guess what? All white men. Because Trump also got rid of the one woman on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I talked to a veteran this weekend, and he talked about being in the field. And he said, when you're in the field, the two things you're evaluating the people you're in the field with are trust and performance. Can you trust the person you're with, and how do they perform in combat? And he said, if someone is really high performance but low in trust, ain't somebody you're comfortable. They would rather go into battle in the field with someone who is high trust but maybe doesn't always perform as well, because you know they always have your back. You know, you could trust that individual. And I would simply ask all military personnel and veterans in the state of Wisconsin, talk to your family about this. It does. I could bring it up, but this one, I want to bring it up, have the conversation. But I didn't serve. I get that. But if you served, if you're in the military, you don't have to have a radio show. Next time you get together, say, yeah, you know, well, here's my thoughts as someone who put my butt on the line for this country. Memorial Day is about remembering those who died for us so we could have the barbecues, so we can go to the baseball game, go to the water park. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's appropriate that we take one day every year to memorialize and to remember and never forget those who died so we can enjoy those things. Unfortunately, when it came to that yesterday, the President of the United States took a pass. Come back, talk about another graduation speech. This one, much more to the point. CBS's Scott Pelley, when he said to Wake Forest, not going to want to miss it. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 before the hour of 4 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across the network you're listening to. And then a weather update with Brittany Merlot and a great weather team. And our own Mike Clemens, great sports reporter, always is on top of it. It appears now, according, I believe I'm not mistaken, I believe I saw this on Clemens' tweet, that the Packers have interest in keeping Jair Alexander, which would be huge. So they're trying to come to an agreement. When and if it happens, Mike Clemens will be the first to break it. I have no doubt about that. So keep it here on Civic Media for Mike Clemens' great sports report. And then following that, Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 4 until 6. Maggie will be looking back at some of the big headlines for the weekend as well. And Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Always a great way to wind down, have a beverage of your choice, and just chill. I should have asked Kira about this when she was here. I would say a healthy way to cope with the chaos of the day is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I would absolutely agree. I think it's funny. It's informative on what's going on in the world of entertainment. You learn a lot, and you definitely laugh.
And you feel better. So there you go.
You do.
Pete Schwabba tonight from 6 until 8. If you want to weigh in on a couple of these issues, Trump's remarks over the weekend. By the way, I didn't even get to this. He went to Arlington National Cemetery, laid a wreath with Vice President J.D. Vance, and then went mere steps to the Coliseum and gave a Memorial Day speech in which he attacked Joe Biden and Democrats. Watched a lot of Memorial Day speeches at that Coliseum by both Republican and Democratic presidents. Never heard one partisanize it until yesterday. Scott Pelley, one of the great reporters at 60 Minutes, CBS News, former evening news anchor, gave his own graduation speech at Wake Forest University this weekend. Of course, 60 Minutes head, Bill Owens, executive producer, resigned a couple weeks ago over protest. And Wendy McMahon, CBS president of news, also resigned last week after the last edition of 60 Minutes for this season, saying that they could no longer run the program like they had before because Sherry Redstone, the owner of CBS, which actually is Paramount Global, which owns CBS, she's trying to sell it, trying to do a merger between that, I think, Skydance or Sky something or other. And it's subject to FCC approval, of which Trump's appointees control. So they're trying not to tick Trump off. By the way, everything we just covered, I talked about it this morning with Jane McNair as well, on what Trump said over Memorial Day weekend. None of that. Made CBS Morning News in the 2 hours they were on the air. Just a little bit of a coincidence? Scott Pelley, not holding back. Here's what he said. And he never mentions Trump, by the way. Here's what he's doing to speak out at the Wake Forest graduation this weekend.
But in this moment, this morning, our sacred rule of law is under attack. Journalism is under attack. Universities are under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. And insidious fear is reaching through our schools, our businesses, our homes, and into our private thoughts. The fear to speak in America. Power can rewrite history with grotesque, false narratives. They can make criminals heroes and heroes criminals. Power can change the definition of the words we use to describe reality. Diversity is now described as illegal. Equity is to be shunned. Inclusion is a dirty word. This is an old playbook, my friends. There's nothing new in this.
Scott Pelley of CBS News, or the anchors of 60 Minutes, never heard Pelley outside of the studio like that before. Thought it was incredible. The most chilling line I thought from that clip was Pelley saying, it's insidious fear creeping in into our minds to speak out, right? Think about it. People are taking international vacations, go, well, I'm not sure if I want to leave the country because, you know, like on Facebook, I called Trump out. Maybe they're not gonna let me back in. People in journalism afraid to speak out because they might come after me. We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of is my owner, our owner, that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And it's a privilege and an opportunity every day to come before this microphone and have a discussion with each of you. And we will continue to speak the truth. We'll continue to pursue it. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well. Don't be afraid to speak out. America is a great country. It's an exceptional country. Be a great American today. And do your part to speak out and speak the truth. Many thanks to our guest, Kira Sabin, to Mr. Zomers on the board, Matthew, our new intern. We appreciate it. And all of you for listening. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Maggie Dawn is next. See you tomorrow. Good day will come. Keep banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.